Welcome to the Motherhood Manual, titled because despite us all still searching, there really isn't a manual that comes with being a parent.
But we do hope this podcast can be a source of experiences and insight and hopefully a little bit of light relief too, to make you feel less alone in the extraordinary highs, excruciating lows and everything in between.
Thanks for joining us again for those of you who've listened before, and welcome to any new listeners. This week, we're starting a series of short podcast episodes that focus on mothers who are also entrepreneurs, many of whom will have established their businesses in response to a gap in the market or an issue that they've experienced as a parent.
We have got some fantastic guests lined up and intend to publish these episodes sporadically across the coming 6 months or so. So if you are an entrepreneur, aspiring entrepreneur, or just want to learn a little bit more about some fascinating businesses and stories, stay tuned.
A note from me here. I'm acutely aware that we do and will be asking these women how they balance their lives as entrepreneurs with their role as mothers. If these were men, would we ask the same thing about their ability to balance their role as a father? I'd like to think we would, but more often than not, it's only women who face these questions. And so I just want to flag that we see this issue. It's a whole can of worms, or perhaps even a long podcast episode in its own right. But should we ever interview any dads, we'll be sure to ask them the exact same questions. Okay, now I've got that off my chest, on with the episode. Dina is the founder of Kensington Mums, which is an award-winning website for parents in London. So we really just want to know a little bit more about you and about Kensington Mums.
Good morning, Jess and Helen. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast today. So yes, as you've just briefly explained, Kensington Mums is an online platform to connect with like-minded mums. And I've put a lot of sleepless nights, effort and time into it because I really believe in it. And everything that I do comes with experience and a passion. So Kensington Mums started when I had my second child. And it was a way to fill in a gap that didn't exist. And through my experiences of postnatal depression and just feeling very lonely and isolated, I felt that there was a need to create such a community. And that's how Kensington Mums was born.
Just tell us a little bit about, you started obviously as a kind of website and online magazine. Can you tell us sort of how it kind of developed and then what your plans maybe for the future with it are?
Yes. So when it first started, it started as a private Facebook group. There was no Instagram back then. So it started off just as a private Facebook group, and to all the baby groups that I used to attend, from baby massage to baby yoga to rhyme time and storytelling at the library, moms would start telling me, oh, could you add me to your group so that I can know what's going on in the local area? And then I started organizing like walks and talks in the park, which is something that I still do up until today. And again, moms wanted to join with their baby, you know, they're on maternity leave. It's a way for them to connect with other moms. And then as the weeks went on, I started having 100,000 of new moms joining this group. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm not alone.
Wow.
I'm not alone in this. And then through the support of my husband and a lot of nagging from my side, a website was born. And then I was self-taught in how to run a website. I took online classes. And this is where it is today. So right now we have a website, which is kensingtonmoms.co.uk. We are active on social media at Kensington Moms on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we also send out a weekly newsletter to our subscribers and followers.
Wow, that's a huge brand that you've built from really
scratch.
Nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it was really a passion that was there. My midwives did actually push me to say, do it. There's nothing out there. I was like, you know, I'm suffering here in silence. I'm sure I'm not the only one. She used to come and help me with my mastitis when I had 40-degree fever and I still had to take care of my baby. And my husband would just basically go to work. And I was basically, and I was the first one from my group of friends to get married at a young age and have kids at a young age. So I really felt like, I'm sure I'm not the only one. And through a lot of support and asking around, I'm like, do you think you would, be interested in such a group if it was created for moms by moms to meet, exactly like how the Facebook group started as? And that's how it grew into.
It takes such courage in a position that you were in, to feel the way you felt, to be dealing with feelings of postnatal sort of depression, and to look for a solution, and not just look for a solution, but actually to create a solution for yourself, but also for so many other women. Was it primarily, obviously, you were, I assume, living in Kensington at that time?
I
And
was
yeah, and
living.
have you managed to attract women from kind of other areas of London, or is there
Well,
any
it's called
plans to?
Kensington Mums. Yeah, so it's called
Yeah.
Kensington Mum, and I think it's a very catchy name because of the local area. But it actually attracts mums from all over London. So we
Yeah.
had a coffee meetup on Friday, 2 days ago, and we had mum come from North London to attend because there was nothing in her local area, and
Yeah,
she
is
really wanted to meet with other mums. So
it's so interesting that the system, perhaps in the UK as well, there isn't anything really, or Des, you can correct me because I haven't had a child in the UK actually, so I might be out of place to be here. But there doesn't seem to be much to connect you with other mothers who are going through the same thing. The only thing I can think of is like the NCT courses,
yeah,
but
that's a
those you have
charity. Yeah.
to pay to join, and that's,
Yes.
yeah.
There's apps now, aren't there? There are like, the, but they're very, it's a very general, like bigger thing. It's not like a personal thing set up by somebody in your area who knows your area and obviously knows the individual, issues within that area in terms of being a mum as well, isn't it? Because I guess that's probably a really big part of it. Any gaps in, postnatal. Well, we know nationwide there are huge gaps in postnatal support and postnatal care, but things specific to your area, that there's nothing really like that at all. So.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also a way for you to connect with other like-minded moms as well. So yes, as you mentioned, there are charities, there are apps out there, but you're trying to build long-term relationship with your kids as well. You want them to come with their kids to meet up in the park. So through Kensington Moms, we've managed to do this. I would say luckily we've managed to do this because it was not planned for moms to, like, we had once a mom coming from the States and a mom who was is living in London, who's also from the States, same town in the States as this mom who just came in, and they connected at a coffee morning. Their age, the kids' ages were the same, and they're like, through Kensington Moms we managed to meet other moms in the local area. And this mom w found us online while she was still in the States. She booked her ticket to attend the coffee meetup, and that's where she connected with another mom who turned out to be her neighbor. Yeah, I like to empower the moms. That's the main feeling that I get, is that I've empowered them not to feel alone at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can imagine for you personally, I know that you grew up in Lebanon. And so tell us a little bit about kind of the context of when you got like arrived to live in the UK, and how that was bringing up a family away from perhaps family. I don't know where your close family are.
So I'm originally from Lebanon. I was born there, grew up in London, and then halfway through when I got married, I moved to Canada and then came back to London with kids. So I had my kids here in the UK. So yeah, I did not have a support network of family support next to me. Be it in London or in Canada. So when I became a mom, this is when the isolation really hit hard. My mom, bless her, she did come to help me, but at that time it was limited time how long she could stay with me. It was never forever. I'm like, stay here forever.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, I'm only coming for a couple of weeks and then you're on your own. I'm like, no.
I know that feeling very well. I live in Norway, and
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
so
So
I'm
in a
same
country
as well.
where you don't have family, you need to create your own kind of family. And this is where my new friends came in place. And, you know, it says it takes a village to raise a child, but I would also like to add that it takes a village to raise a mother. You need to find your village. I would like to believe that through Kensington Mums, I've managed to find my village and friends that I've met at the start of Kensington Mums, who are still my friends now, have helped me, guided me, supported me, and pushed me to be, you know, the mom that I am today, to learn more about my experiences as a day-to-day mom, because as you both know, as moms, we try our best in everything that we do, and we put all of our effort, our energy, just to provide the best and be the best for our kids. And I'm not gonna cry, but I know the struggle. And yes, so I'd like to believe that Kensington Mums is the village that I created for myself and for others as well.
It's totally okay if you want to cry as well.
Yeah, we don't care.
Cheers, cheers, welcome. You obviously, I think your children are sort of a tiny bit older now. I don't know quite what ages, but you
I have teenagers now. Yeah, I have teenagers. Yeah.
So how have you found that then, having this business? Because it's is it about 13 years that you've been running Kensington Mums?
Yeah, like 12 years now.
12, yeah.
It's evolved in a way, it's evolved organically in a way that has just taken its time. I know that I could have done it as a franchise. I had many opportunities, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to keep it small, keep it niche. I attend most of the events we organize for the moms. So Kensington Mum is both an online and offline platform. So the online is all the resources, tips, advice, recommendations we get from experts that goes on the website. And the offline part is more the social engagement events that we organize.
How did the COVID pandemic affect Kensington Mums?
So we kind of stopped doing our events during COVID time. I remember we had a huge Mother's Day event and we had to cancel it. But since our website and social media has always been online, so we're an online magazine, online platform, it didn't really affect us that much. Mm. We had more businesses coming through actually because all businesses tried to go online to showcase their product, their services, or, you know, whatever that they were trying to promote. So we were really only affected with our events that we had to put on hold for like 2 years and started picking them up again last year.
I bet people were really grateful that those are back on now.
Yeah, for everyone's sanity.
Absolutely.
How have you found the balance of building this business?
So if I had to choose one word, it would be multitasker. I've been multitasking it. I've been winging it all the way. Yes. So my kids are a bit older now, so they kind of are a bit more independent. And so I get to focus a bit more on the business while they're at school. But I think it's multitasking and learning along the way. And also by meeting a lot of the moms to see what they are after.
Do you have any kind of advice for anybody, not necessarily wanting to start up a business similar to yours, but just in general, anybody wanting to start up a platform or, you know, a business alongside raising a family, what would be your advice to them?
I would say that, first of all, do your research, see if there's a need in the market for whatever product or service you're trying to provide for. And then once you've decided and committed, just go for it. It doesn't matter what's the outcome. The worst case, it's not going to work out. Basically, that's like the worst case scenario. So just go for it and put as much effort and time into it as possible. And then once you've set it up, start to delegate and outsource. So one of the mistakes that I did is I didn't delegate and I didn't outsource. And I wanted to do everything on my own. I see you both nodding, so.
Yeah, I run a business myself and I very much, I hear every word of that. Yeah.
And I'm a control freak, so yeah.
Me too. So we get along on that aspect. So I didn't delegate. I didn't outsource for maybe 5, 6, 7 years. And I wanted to be in control. It was my vision, my idea. I'm like, if I give it to someone, they're not going to know how to say it the way I want to say it. People want to see me. This is me behind, you know. But then eventually I gave in and I started like delegating. So right now I work with a small team of moms. We all work from home. I have someone helping me with the social media. I have a virtual assistant who helps with the admin, but I'm still the brainchild behind it. I'm still the orchestra, if you call it that way.
Yeah.
And it's I get to sleep now.
That is a benefit.
It's hard when it's your vision and it's your it's another child, really, isn't it? It's another baby, and you know, trying to sort of translate that to somebody else is hard.
Yes.
Yeah. But good for you for like allowing the business to evolve by delegating, because that's really tough.
Aside from the Kensington Mums thing, I'm just really interested because I was reading about you, and in your past career, you worked in, was it like biotechnology? Is that right?
I worked for the NHS in my BC, before children life, actually, and a bit after children life. I studied my undergraduate and my master's in biotechnology and medicine. So I used to work in cancer research with patients, not in the lab. So with one-to-one patients who are terminally ill, trying on new treatments. It was actually quite depressing, and it makes you feel very grateful. Every day coming into work was a new day for me, because you never know if your patient was going to show up or not. That was my work before. And my manager, when I first started Kensington Mum, was during my lunch break. I was still working for the NHS, and I was trying to hide that I'm trying to set up a website and, you know. And then eventually she was pregnant with her second, so I made her a nice bundle of gifts to give her before she went on maternity leave. And she told me, congratulations on Kensington Mums and good luck. So she knew. And I was trying to hide it. And that's when I stopped working for the NHS and put my time and effort into growing.
Yeah, was part of that decision, it sounded like your job was quite heavy and quite emotionally demanding. Did you feel that trying to do that job and also trying to have a family would be too much?
It was the wrong equation for me, but everyone their own. For me personally, I was never there for the kids. It was a 9 to 6, sometimes 7. Sometimes it was 7 to 7 kind of job, because I had to attend the MDT meetings with the doctors that they do before they start their shifts. So I would never be there for the kids. I would come home exhausted and tired. So yes, it was emotionally draining for me. And at that time, I had 2 kids. So 1 kid was okay to manage. But having 2, it was a different ballgame. And I didn't want to go through, you know, the same loop as I did with my firstborn of feeling lonely, isolated. Second time around, I was like, that's it. I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go through this. So I did go back to work, but part-time. And then eventually I was like, you know, even part-time wasn't helping that much.
Really interesting, isn't it, how I think a lot of women in particular choose to become self-employed, choose to take on ventures, because it's often too much to balance, and the expectation of a lot of employers means you can't have it all. I think we've kind of been brought up to think that you can have it all, but that comes at a cost somewhere. So it's just really interesting to hear your story, but such a good and positive story, because you've created something which has huge impact. Okay, we ask this question to everybody that we speak to on the podcast. If there is one thing that you could have known before becoming a parent, so sort of aside from your business life, if there's one thing someone could have told you before becoming a parent, what would it have been?
It would be sleep as much as you can. That's something I took for granted, I guess, when I didn't have kids. I'd be like, oh, you can do whatever you want, whenever you want. And pee alone. I think those two. You can pee alone without an audience, and you get to sleep whenever you want. Yeah. So those two.
Yeah. Those are very good ones, I think. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I'm sure our listeners will be checking out the website. Just again, do you want to repeat that just for us again, the website URL?
Yes. The website is kensingtonmums.co.uk, and you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at Kensington Mums.
Fabulous. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your time. And we look forward to seeing the journey that Kensington Mums continues to take.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this one. We hope you enjoyed it. Do go and follow us on Instagram at the Motherhood Manual Podcast. And also, as ever, we would love to hear what you thought of this episode. You can email us themotherhoodmanual@gmail.com. And we will see you next time.